together. There are many sins that must be preached against. And part of the responsibility of a preacher is to exhort and also to strive to correct and rebuke. And unfortunately, over the last couple of decades especially, there are many sins that have plagued our society and have come to plague our society and our nation in such a way as it hasn't done so ever in the history of America. And unfortunately, there is this sin, this transgression known as gambling, that has become very popular in our society, particularly a couple of years ago when Tennessee, the citizens of Tennessee, voted in a state-run lottery. What about the lottery? Is that okay? Most states have them now. Is that all right? In the last couple of years, there has been a television show that has become very popular about poker. And these folks will sit there and they'll sit around their poker table and they'll play poker and they'll bet the money. And it's gambling. And as a result, I think Sam was telling me a couple of weeks ago, this fella thought he would sell some poker tables out of his house, and now he's got a huge warehouse that he can't keep filled. Because it has become so popular and so many people are playing poker and they're gambling. Nothing wrong with a card game, but when you begin to gamble, and that's what's associated with this televised program. What is gambling? I think we really need to have a clear understanding of the definition of gambling, because I am firmly convinced, based upon many conversations in my life, that a lot of people don't really know what gambling is, what constitutes gambling, and what are some of the things that are not gambling and yet are sometimes confused to be gambling. According to Webster's dictionary, gambling is to play games of chance for money or some other stake, to take a risk in order to gain some advantage. Another definition, which may be more precise, but involves what Webster gave, a wager or a bet in which two or more people mutually agree in advance that each player will risk losing some material possession to other players in exchange for the chance to win the material possessions placed at risk by the other players. The winners or losers to be determined by the outcome of some game of chance, with nothing of fair value being given the loser to compensate him for his loss. And based upon these definitions, there are really four essentials. There are really four things that are absolutely necessary that must be present in order for a thing to be gambling. And I want us to learn these four things. Because if you're calling something gambling that doesn't include these four things, you're not speaking of something that's actually gambling. There must be a game of chance. That's part of it when it comes to gambling. And this game could really be anything. I know of some people years ago who used to make bets on which would be the next leaf fall off this tree, or which tree would have the next leaf fall off of it in the fall. They were so caught up in gambling. There must be a game of chance, and there must be stakes. Now, the stakes is what you're going to win or lose. It could be a money value, or it could be some possession, a ring or a house or a title to a car or a computer. It could be anything. And then there must be the agreement, the wager. The agreement is that I am going to agree with you, and we're both going to agree that whoever wins this game of chance gets to take the stakes. That's the wager. That is the agreement between the two. And then there must be a lack of fair compensation. These four things must be present in order for a thing to be gambling. What are some things that are not gambling? Sometimes I hear that it's a gamble to cross the street. Well, you're gambling every time you cross the street. Or you take a gamble every time you get in the car and drive down the road. Or some people have said, well, life is a gamble. Are these things gambling? Folks have said they were, but are they really? Listen, these acts involve no attempt to take possession from anyone. They can't be gambling. They involve no attempt to take someone else's possession without fair compensation, and there's no agreement to try and profit from someone else's loss. When I get in my car and drive down the road, I haven't agreed to try to profit from someone else's loss. There's no wager. Crossing the street can be risky. Risk is involved. Driving a car in certain areas can be risky. Risk is involved. Life. There are many risks involved with living life. But just because something has risk doesn't make it gambling. There has to be the other things. The same thing is true about playing games when no betting, no wagers are made. Nothing wrong with a card game. There's nothing wrong with cards. But when you begin to gamble with that game, when you begin to add in all the other things that constitute gambling, now you've committed sin. What about farming? What about owning a business? Somebody would say, well, these are gambling. They're not gambling. There are risks involved in these things, but these things do not constitute gambling. Investing in a company by purchasing stock, that is not gambling. The same thing is true with buying legitimate insurance. These things are not gambling. They don't involve all the four things that constitute gambling. So why is it that folks will say, well, that's gambling? Well, I'll tell you why the folks that have said these things to me say it, because they want to justify or to try and justify the things that really are gambling. When I try to talk to them about playing cards for money or buying a lottery ticket or going to the horse races and placing bets upon the races, they'll say, well, life's a gamble. But you gamble every time you walk down the street. You gamble every time you get in a car. That's not so. Those things are not gambling. But when they include those four things, those are gambling. Many things qualify as gambling. Casino games are gambling. Racetrack betting, that's gambling. Church-sponsored bingo and raffles that many denominations get involved in, those things are gambling. State-operated lotteries are gambling. That's right. If you go down here to the convenience store and you buy a lottery ticket, any of them, I don't care if it's the Powerball or whatever else they have, you're gambling. And I want to show you this morning that the Bible condemns that for the child of God. And in understanding what gambling is, I want us to see three essentials. Three things that I want you to write down and remember about gambling. And don't ever forget. Number one, gambling is a sinful pleasure. Nobody denies that gambling brings a certain thrill. It brings with it a certain amount of pleasure. Gambling is exciting. It brings out our competitive nature. But more than this, it brings out our desire to win the prize at the expense of somebody else. Well, it may start off as simply as buying one lottery ticket, but then it grows into a great pleasurable desire. But then the pleasure takes over and gives in to passion. And those who gamble become, as many in our society say, they become addicted to it. And it almost gets to where they just have to do it. And once gambling has a man or a woman in its godless grip, it becomes as difficult to stop as the consumption of alcohol is for a drunkard. There are even support groups like Gamblers Anonymous to help these compulsive gamblers to overcome their weakness and their problem. Gambling is a pleasure, but it is a sinful pleasure. You know, the Bible even teaches that sin is pleasurable. That's its lure. That's what draws us to it. Hebrews 11, verse 25, Moses chose to suffer with the people of God. rather to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Sin is pleasurable. There are many things from the Word of God that make gambling sinful. There are several Christian principles laid down in the Bible for the faithful child of God to follow, which are violated by gambling. So we're not talking here about what's my opinion or what's another man's opinion. We're talking about a condemned sin in the Word of God. Somebody says, well, where in the Bible is the word gambling mentioned? It's not there. The word itself, the word gambling, you will not find that word in the Bible. But friends, neither will you find the word abortion in the Bible. Neither will you find the word rape in the Bible. Neither will you find the word suicide in the Bible. But there are biblical principles which condemn these things just as surely as there are biblical principles which condemn the act of gambling in any form or fashion, regardless of how harmless it may sometimes appear to be. What are some of these principles? Well, we won't have time to discuss them all, but just a few ought to do. In the first place, gambling violates the principle of love toward our fellow man. The golden rule, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, where the Lord said, whatever you want others to do to you, do also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. Gambling violates the golden rule. For example, these two men are playing pool in a bar. And they decide to play a game for $100. And they both agree, the agreement's there, the wager's there, the stakes are there. And then the game of chance is the pool. The lack of fair compensation comes at the end when the game's over. And when that game's over, one person wins, the other loses, and the person who wins is ready for his $100. I want my $100. And the person who loses said, oh yeah, I just love this. Here's your $100, and gives it to him with a smile on his face. He's so happy about that. Right? Wrong. People don't pay off their bookie with a smile on their face. They do it with a grudge in their heart. And listen, if I'm the one who wins, and I am imposing upon this person to pay me that money, he don't want to. He's not getting anything in return. But he has to pay me. I am not acting like Christ, am I? Is that love? Is that doing unto others as I would do? What would I have him do to me? I would have him forgive me to death. Why don't you just, never mind. And if I'm going to do that, why gamble in the first place? Gambling violates the golden rule. But not only does it violate the principle of love, gambling violates the principle of labor. The Bible has set forth certain legitimate ways of acquiring money. And gambling is not among them. And labor is at the top of the list. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul writes and says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. I often point out, well, the Bible says we're supposed to work so that we can supply for our families, and we're supposed to work so that we have something to give back to God. Well, what about this reason? Paul says to labor with your hands, why? So that you may have something to give him who has need. We work so we can have money to be charitable to those who have need. Gambling, on the other hand, is stealing by consent. Think about that. Gambling is stealing by consent. Yes, the other guy agreed to the wager, but no, he doesn't want to pay up when the game's over. When the Bible teaches that stealing is wrong, it means that it's wrong to take property without fair exchange or compensation. There is a principle of labor taught in the New Testament that should not be violated. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "For even when you were we were with you, you were commanded this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." The Christian ethic demands that we make our living by labor, not by luck. By work, not by wagering. If anyone does not work, neither shall he eat. One may also obtain possessions by fair exchange. The merchant of Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. He sold his possessions to buy a pearl. In John chapter 4 and verse 18, the disciples bought food by exchanging money for it. Fair compensation. One may obtain possessions by labor or by fair exchange, or one may obtain possessions by way of gifts. One person may knowingly, of his own free will, choose to give goods or services or money to someone else as an act of or an expression of goodwill and kindness. That would include, of course, the willing of possessions, including money, to others after you are deceased. That's a legitimate biblical way to acquire money. Again, Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him who steals, steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good," look at here, "that he may have something to give him who has need." There's the principle of giving unto others. That's a legitimate way of acquiring possessions, gifts. But gambling is sinful because it violates the principle of love. It violates the principle of labor, and it violates the principle of legitimate exchange. But now that we've seen that gambling is a sinful pleasure, I want you to see another thing about gambling. Not only is gambling a sinful pleasure, gambling is a social plague. It doesn't help the society. It doesn't embellish the economy, as we're told by many of the politicians. Those are lies. If you look at the facts, you'd know the truth. As children of God, we should take a great deal of interest in our society. After all, the Lord taught in Matthew 5:13-16 that we are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be the light of the world. He is speaking directly there of our influence upon the society in which we live. Societies, and I want you to remember this, societies which become corrupt enrage God. God has always been displeased with societies that promote sinful things and governments that promote wickedness and evil. In Psalm 9 and verse 17, the psalmist says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." And that verse is just one among many that shows a pattern of God's wrath being displayed against nations who were wicked and sinful and promoted wicked and sinful things. Who can forget about that grossly sinful nation that the Apostle Paul describes there in Romans chapter 1? There in the latter few verses, when he begins to talk about how they exchanged God for the lie, worship the Creator rather than the Creator. How they begin to practice homosexuality, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving within themselves the penalty for their error, which was due, Romans 1 and verse 27. And then he begins to get into this list here in verse 29. Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. What a sinful nation. In verse 26, "For this reason God gave them up." Again, he says, God gave them up. Again, later he says, God gave them over. to a debased mind. There are many today, especially many politicians who will tell us and are trying to tell us that legalized gambling helps a society. Don't buy it. It's a lie. You know what they want? They want your money. The government taxing the people is perfectly biblical, perfectly acceptable, but they're not happy with that. They need more. All legalized gambling does is help destroy a society. This has always been the case. Anybody can sit down and just look at the evidence, the mountain of evidence that shows this. In his book, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, Gibbons mentions gambling as one reason for Rome's fall. Carsopino says in his book, Daily Life in Ancient Rome, and this is a quote, "The victory of one chariot enriched some, impoverished others. The hope of winning unearned money," I love how he put that, "the hope of winning unearned money held the Roman crowd completely in its grip," and oh, what a godless grip it was. And what a godless grip it is. Those who gamble are delighted by gambling, they're driven by greed, and they're doomed by God. And America is now caught up in the godless grip of this deadly sin. According to the U.S. News and World Report, Americans legally wagered $330 billion in 1992. Since then, the numbers have risen, and around 10 million citizens in our nation can be described as what they call pathological gamblers or addicts. Well, how does this affect our society? Is it good? Is it good for families? Is it good for the children? Is it good for the schools? Listen, it's a proven fact that when gambling is legalized, the crime rate skyrockets. That is so proven, it almost goes without saying. In fact, there's a mountain of evidence that clearly demonstrates this. You can get on the internet, and within 10 minutes, you could have pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of evidence that high crime rates and gambling go hand in hand. Well, the Bible teaches in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 that because of the love of money, many have strayed from the truth. We're told there that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and how true that is. And listen, at the very heart, the very platform, the very basis of gambling is what? It's the love of money. That's what drives the gambler. The wanting, the desire for that money. Listen to some of the evils that legalized gambling has contributed to. And again, this is all from information and statistics that I just found in a few minutes on a Google search. The evidence shows that there is a direct link between problem and pathological gambling to divorce, child abuse, domestic violence, bankruptcy, crime, and suicide. Gambling is compulsive, addictive, and progressive. It's plaguing our society. And I've done a lot of reading about what legalized gambling has done to Atlantic City, for example. And this information comes from the U.S. News and World Report, March 14, 1994. Here we go. It promotes crime and traffics in immorality and destroys citizens. Still quoting, it causes men and women to kill, steal, mortgage homes, starve and half-clothe their families, lose jobs, and many other ills upon society. Listen to a statement made by a gas station attendant who works in Las Vegas. He says, everybody in town at one time or another has offered to share a wife in trade for gasoline or repairs. I'm sure everybody in town hadn't, but his statement of everybody in town shows that it's pretty widespread and pretty common. Isn't that a shame? People are so addicted to gambling, they lose down to that last penny, and oh, if I can just get another dollar, another $100, the next one's going to be the big hit. And they'll give up the things that are the closest and most dearest and most precious in life to them to get that next thrill. It's a plague upon our society. And on top of the gross immorality, Atlantic City has the highest unemployment rate in its state and a lot of homelessness, it says. You know, I used to live in Kentucky. I've lived there twice and done a lot of studying into gambling and lottery. A lot of people don't realize Kentucky is in its 10th lottery. Did you know that? This is the 10th time that it has had a state-run lottery. A lot of people don't realize that. And what is even more interesting is that if you go back and you read the documents about why they consistently kept doing away with the lottery, they always list the same reasons. And you know what's on top of the list? Rising crime rate. Couldn't control the crime rate. Another one on the list, increased welfare. Another one on the list, fraudulent practices. Does that sound like gambling and the lottery helps a society? I wish I had the statistics here. I guess it's in another sermon I had on this, but it's a high number of people who have asked, people who are considered addicted gamblers. What was your first gambling experience? You know what the most common answer to that question was among addicted gamblers? I bought a lottery ticket at a convenience store. That's all it takes to get people started and then hooked and addicted. Oh, it's just a lottery ticket. It's much more than that. It's a violation of the principles of the Word of God. And it's a stepping stone into a life of disaster and destruction. I call them scratch and sniff tickets. I never forget years ago when I preached in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, I was sitting in a booth at a convenience store drinking a cup of coffee and reading, and this little fella got out of an old beat-up truck, and he looked rough, and I knew he'd just got his paycheck. It was Friday afternoon, and he walked into the convenience store, and I watched him. He laid a 20 on the counter and got $20 worth of gambling tickets, and I saw him scurry out to his truck, and he said, "There, he's just out there. I can just see him out there scratching into the face." And he got in, and he did it again, another $20, went the same process out to the truck. You can see the disappointment. Got in and did another $20, $60 gone within 10 minutes. Scratch and sniff. You spend all that money, you scratch, and then you cry. Because you just took clothes off your kid's back. You just took food out of your family's mouth. You just took school supplies away from your children. For what? For 10 minutes of scratch and sniff tickets. You see how it plagues people? How it diseases them? Gambling is horrible upon society. It exploits the poor. You know who buys the most lottery tickets? The people on welfare. This is going to be my ticket out. This is going to be my way to get out of this. That's why Kentucky records increased welfare over the years, because the ones in welfare are getting worse and worse in debt. They're buying those lottery tickets with money they don't have. What a shame. And legalized gambling is supposed to help our society? Oh, well, we're told it's supposed to help the schools in order to educate the children. That was the big emotional plea a couple of years back in Tennessee, remember? It's to help the children. We're helping the children. Oh, it educates the children. Listen, I'll tell you something. It educates the children, all right? They weren't kidding about that. It educates the children. According to one report, the rate of pathological gambling among teenagers has jumped from nearly 0% in 1979 to nearly 5% in 1989. And with more and more states bringing in the lottery or the state-operated lotteries and other types of legalized gambling, who knows what the rate is now? Yes, it's educating our children. You know what it's teaching them? It's teaching them that they ought to try to get something for nothing. It's teaching them how to be lazy. And it's not teaching them the work ethic that's portrayed in the Word of God that we've already discussed. That's what it's teaching our children. Instead of teaching them the value of honest labor, it's teaching them the vice of dishonest luck. The very basis of gambling is covetousness and greed. Covetousness being, again, the love of money. And its fruits are reaping havoc on our youth, reaping havoc on our adults, reaping havoc upon our families and upon our society. Gambling is a sinful pleasure. Gambling is a social plague. And then number three, finally, very quickly, and I've saved the good news for last. Gambling is a surmountable problem. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A recent poll suggests that 59% of people who go to church every week favor a state-run lottery. I know you're thinking, I thought you had good news. Though that's frightening. 59% of people who go to church every week favor a state-run lottery. Matter of fact, in the past, on a few occasions, I've spoken to some who are members of the Lord's church who have strongly defended the lottery as well as other types of legalized gambling. Oh, they've got arguments to try and justify it. One of them is the one we discussed earlier. Oh, well, the word gambling is not found in the Bible. Weak. Another argument is that, well, the lottery is legal, and if it's legal, then it's okay. Well, did you know it's perfectly legal if you're of age to go down to the convenience store, buy a case of beer, and go home and sit in your living room and get drunk out of your mind? Did you know that's perfectly legal right here in the good old USA in most places? Does that make it okay? Just because it's legal? God said drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Listen, I'm ashamed to say that there are many sinful vices that have been legalized in this great nation of ours. But does this make it all right? Does that make it acceptable? Come on. Oh, we've got to do better than that. Something may be socially legal and yet be spiritually lethal. Am I to understand that it's perfectly all right for a Christian to get drunk, kill innocent unborn babies, participate in homosexuality, gamble away their entire paycheck if so desired, just because it's legal to do so? Surely the children of God have a better capacity of reasoning than that. The government can legalize these things all day long, but they can never change the Word of God. And God's Word still condemns these things, and it still condemns those who practice these things. Listen, gambling and the lottery is a surmountable problem, but it's got to begin right here. We're not going to do it with 59% saying, okay, let's go. We're not going to do it with members of the church arguing for it. It's got to begin right here. It's got to begin with the sons of the kingdom abstaining from it and teaching their children to abstain from it. We have got to understand the things we spoke earlier, which condemn gambling. Know the passage references. Know how to study it with somebody and teach them why it's wrong. How will we ever convince others to stop gambling if we ourselves are caught up in the vice? How can we slow the tide of teenage gambling and addiction if we don't teach our children about the evils of gambling? We've got to believe that it's wrong. We've got to teach that it's wrong. And we've got to live like it's wrong if we're ever going to make a dent in this sinful pleasure that's plaguing our nation. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul says there that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. 2 Corinthians 3:2, Paul says, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. It's ridiculous and foolish for the man to stand there with a lottery ticket in his hand that he has just bought and try to tell this man who's betting on the horse race that he's a sinner. Would he convince you? He wouldn't convince me. Gambling destroys minds. It destroys jobs. It destroys the economy. It destroys families. Its effect devastates the lives of our children. It wreaks havoc upon marriages. But most of all, it condemns souls. Gambling is sinful. Gambling in the lottery. Gambling is a sinful pleasure. It has its lure, but don't give in. Gambling is a social plague. Don't listen to the lies of politicians. Gambling destroys society. But gambling is a surmountable problem. We've got to not get involved ourselves. If we are involved, we need to repent of it. And set the proper example for others and try to teach others to abstain from the very appearance of this evil. What am I doing to help fight against this cancerous growth in our society? What are you doing? You know, it begins with you and I. And speaking about covetousness and the love of money, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6:11, "But you, O man of God, hear these things," or flee these things, he says. "You, O man of God, flee these things." It begins with me. Fleeing this thing, this plague upon our society. Don't participate in them yourself, and try all you can to teach others not to. There's more at stake here than the wager at the racetrack. There's more at stake here than the couple of bucks on the ticket down at the convenience store. Eternal souls are at stake. Let's save our own, and let's try to save others. Let's pray.